Hello, 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 and welcome back, y'all, to episode number 4 of the podcast with no name. Actually, the podcast with a name that I am too afraid to commit to. Does that translate into the rest of my life? Only my therapist can know. Only my mother can, only God can know. Welcome back. This week, I have a beautiful story for y'all. This is one of the first people I was messaging back when I started creating this series, and it's just been very difficult because Jana, our guest, lives in Germany, and the time zones are just quite different, so it's been difficult to get our schedules to align, but we finally did it. It's an amazing story. It's very fresh in my mind. Jana is a child of deaf parents, a child of hard of hearing parents, otherwise known as a CODA, and I just thought that that was an experience that I knew very little about. I know very little about the deaf community, but I also, you know, I don't know a lot about what it's like to have parents with disabilities or to grow up in such a, what I presume to be a niche community. So I thought that Jana would have a very interesting perspective on that. Also, again, Jana's from Germany, so they use German Sign Language. And I just thought all of that was very different to me and something I would love to learn a little bit about. So it was a lovely conversation. It was very, very fun. And I wanted it to continue, which is always a good sign to leave just wanting a little bit more. So I have that in store for you guys. I hope you enjoy our lovely conversation. Definitely make sure to click the thumbs up button if you enjoy this video. Leave a comment down below. Participate in the conversation. Give us 5 stars across all audio platforms. And enjoy my conversation with Jana. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another one. Today I'm here with a lovely, lovely guest coming in all the way from Germany. Jana, can you introduce yourself to the audience and let them know your pronouns?
Yeah, so I'm Jana. My pronouns are she, her, and they, them, and I'm a media student.
Oh, lovely. Well, thanks for hopping on. I was so excited when I saw your response. We've actually been communicating from the very beginning, and we've been trying to make this work, but with the 9-hour time zone difference, it's proven a little difficult. So thanks for bearing with me on that.
Sure, no problem.
You have a really interesting story, and a story that was more apparent, I guess, in my life this year, only because I really enjoy film, and one of the big films of this year was called CODA, and you are a CODA, so it was something that I don't even know if I've ever heard before until it was being, you know, plastered all over Hollywood. And I was like, oh, I've never really thought about that experience. I've thought about the experience of a deaf individual, but I've never thought about the experience of being a child of deaf adults. So could you just give the most basic rundown of what a CODA is to the audience?
So a CODA stands for children or child of deaf adults. And that means that my parents, specifically my mother, is deaf and my father is hard of hearing. So it doesn't have to be like both parents, can be just one or, yeah.
And
basically,
I know.
That's it.
and that's what when I was asking you, I was like, does that imply both? Does that imply, what are the implications? Do you have siblings as well?
Yeah, I do. I have a brother and a sister and they both hear as well.
Okay, interesting. Do you know, are there any stats behind is that rare to for I suppose it, since both of your parents aren't deaf that isn't as rare, but in the movie specifically, in the CODA movie I'm referencing, it was one child was deaf and one child was not, so I didn't know if that was like a normal thing or what.
I don't really know either, because it's different for everyone, because for example, on my father's side it's like inherited. But on my mother's side, it's really unclear why she's deaf.
Okay.
Like was said that it could have been like a side effect from a vaccine, or then people said, or doctors said, no, she was deaf from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
no one really knows. So no one, that's why it's partly inherited and sometimes it's not, or people get deaf later in life. Yeah.
Got you. Yeah. So that's super interesting. So growing up a child of deaf adults, a CODA, when did you first realize that, I guess, your home was a little bit different than maybe your friends' homes? Like, what was there a moment where you kind of had the epiphany of like, oh, I have just like a little bit more of a unique life than some of my friends?
I think that was more of a gradual experience for me, because A, I had older siblings who had, so I had contact to like other kids, I guess, earlier than just myself going to like kindergarten. But because, you know, you meet different people very early on in life, I think it was more of a gradual experience. When I was like 3 years old and I met like my first friends in kindergarten, I didn't really know that there was a difference, and then just later realized, like, slowly, wait, no, your parents can hear. Also with my father, because he's just hard of hearing, I don't, like, it's still a disability, but I speak to him in, like, oh, I don't actually know the English word for that, but, like,
oh, that's okay.
Speak to him with, like, my actual voice and not in sign language.
Okay. And yeah, that was the thing we—that was the thing we brought up too before the call—is that my American ignorance. But you were saying it's actually a lot of people's ignorance. Is that I've always just thought of ASL, American Sign Language. But before I hopped on the call, I'm like, it's, of course you're not using American Sign Language. You'd be using GSL. Is that super common that people aren't aware that there are different sign languages?
People here generally just think that it's sign language and it's just one. I think the term ASL is way more common in like America instead of like GSL or DGS, which it would be in German. People just think that the German sign language that we speak here is the one sign language that exists. There is an international sign language,
okay,
but it's not very commonly used by like in everyday conversations.
That would just be too convenient. We can't follow that. No, we got to make it a little bit more difficult for ourselves. What this was a question that I was thinking about, because I always feel like our advancements of communities with disabilities, not our advancements, but like our language around them continues to evolve. And there are certain words that are considered taboo. There are certain words that you're not supposed to use anymore that were used even as early as like 5 years ago. Is there a best way to refer to someone who has hearing impairments and a way that is not okay anymore? Are there any like words that you don't like people referring to your parents at? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the general, like anything that's like negatively like seen in general, like, when it comes to disabilities, obviously that doesn't work. But I don't know if there's a right way, and if there is, I would only like, that's the problem with the language barrier right now, is in German there are some like different words, but
you could, if it's in German too, you feel free to say it. Like, I know I won't understand, but you know,
yeah, there's this whole debate about there are two words for being deaf in German. So I think the literal translation would be taub, and then Gehörlos is like more, people say it's more deficit oriented, so it means just the loss of hearing, kind of.
Okay.
So there's a whole debate. Some people say the one is better, some people say the other is better, and yeah, so that's the thing.
Do your parents tend to not care? I feel like a lot of times people who aren't even a part of communities are almost fighting so hard for the communities themselves that are like, we don't like care too much, actually. It doesn't bother us that much.
Yeah, but my parents personally don't care as much, but it's actually a debate in the community itself.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, because I mean it's a lot of person first language in America, you know, a person with a hearing impairment, you know, a person who is queer, a person who is X and Y, of just like personhood first to remind people that it's a facet. It's like a small part of someone. It's not the entire person.
Yeah.
Which is always, I feel like, best practice. Can you tell me a little bit about, I guess, just growing up, growing up as a child with deaf adults, like what was that experience like? I'm sure there are so many moments when I think about how often, you know, again, verbal communication is used, like just as simple as like me yelling upstairs to my mom, like I'm downstairs, or me in a supermarket, like talking to my mom across the room. That's not as easily done, I'm sure.
Yeah. So most of the times when my parents like needed something from me or wanted to talk to me, it was them yelling and then me having to go downstairs to talk to them. Because, yeah, I mean, they could have come up, but they didn't.
Typical.
So they used that advantage, I guess. I couldn't like call my parents when something was happening. I had to text them and then just hope and wait that they would look at their phone to answer. Well, especially with my mother, because with my father, I could him I could call.
Yeah,
I still can. But he was working the entire day, so most of the times it was my mother who I had to like get information from. So texting was very, very present in my life very early on.
Yeah,
and calling not so much. And to this day, I don't call people that often, or I'm trying now because I wasn't used to it growing up.
That's interesting. It's funny. Parents always are like trying to get kids off their phones, but you're like, they're like, no, you need to be texting us. Need to be on your phone.
Yeah, and I needed them to be on their phones more often than the other way around, because most of the time I needed something from them.
Yeah. You're like passing notepads across the table of just like, I just need a response from you, please. Has there ever been experiences like that in public too, where I guess you as in, you know, I guess an interpreter for your parents in ways that is prevalent or becomes frustrating, or maybe it's not a non-issue at all?
It gets frustrating at times because people tend to, when they find out that I can hear and my parents can't, it's always, they stop talking to my parents and just talk to me.
Okay.
So I kind of am the interpreter by default, not because I want to, or especially not because my parents want to, because they're both the people that are trying to just communicate with everyone else normally, or like, they have their ways. You can use like a pen and paper to just, if everything else fails, especially now with masks and everything, sometimes that's the only option, because they can lip read, but it's hard with masks on.
I totally forgot about that. I remember when that became a little bit more obvious in the news that they had, I think medical professionals sometimes had the clear masks. And again, it was something that me, as an able-bodied person, just like didn't even think about that, which was like a total privilege to even be able to wear a mask in that way. Did that present itself immediately during like the pandemic? Was it even more frustrating, do you know, for your mom or even your dad or even you?
It definitely was. In the beginning, I was back home when COVID first hit and when the masks were required. First, so I often went grocery shopping with my mom just to be an interpreter, but even then the communication was hard between my mother and me, because we rely on like lip reading while signing a lot. So I think that's more common in German Sign Language than it is in ASL.
Okay.
We tend to like speak most of the words while signing.
Okay.
In shorter forms, or like we leave with the grammar of sign language, you leave out most of like filler words which you would use in spoken language. So that was hard when, you know, going grocery shopping and you're trying to explain something to each other, or you're trying to like interpret between the cashier and like my mother. It was hard.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Your mom's like, go pick up cereal. You're like, which one? And you're like, oh boy, this is going to be a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's always the like the finger alphabet that you can like go back to, but that takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember, does it go back as early as like, did you learn sign language? Was it something you don't even remember learning? Was it that early on in your life?
Yeah, I always say I grew up bilingual, so
yeah,
it was German and German Sign Language.
That's so interesting. 'Cause yeah, kids are larger sponges for that as well. So you can take on new languages at a younger age much easier. So I'm sure it's just second nature to you now.
Yeah, it was never like a second language to me anyways, because it was just like it's like the two languages that my parents speak. So those are the two languages that I speak primarily.
For I feel like in my life, misinterpretations happen all the time. Even just speaking to people, texting, anything, people can be misinterpreted. And I don't know if you want to tell this, but this is, I found it interesting. In your message, you were talking about being a part of the queer community and having to come out to your parents was also kind of like a funny, like it's not something you'd have to think about being it being misinterpreted or not understood. In that type of way, like in a very literal way of like not actually understand what you're saying. So, as someone who, is she, her, they, them pronouns, I don't know actually how you identify, but like tell that story. I found that so fascinating.
It's a little like a weird story, I guess, because in my family there are a lot of like queer people. I'm not the first person to come out.
You're like, I'm not special.
No, like seriously, if there is a gay gene, it's in my family.
It's in my mom's side. All of us are coming out now.
Yeah, so the coming out part wasn't that like complicated, because I haven't seen it before, but the conversation has come up before. But then like going further into detail, because back then I came out as pansexual, which was that was the new thing. So I tried to explain to my parents all of that, but it was kind of complicated because I get like what I sent you before, I get most of my information like we all do from the internet, and even then mostly in English, because there's just more information there than there is in German. And but then having to translate that through two different languages was really complicated. And to this day, I don't think they really got what I was trying to tell them. By now, it doesn't matter. By now, I identify as lesbian, so that's something they can work with. But yeah.
Yeah, you're like, that's a little bit more, I guess, clear in their mind. They're like, pansexual, what is going on? And even, I mean, that it's a difficult identity to explain, even, like it's verbally. It's one of those that there are a lot of ways to explain it incorrectly, or that I've even ex explained it incorrectly. I know I'm never giving it like fully the justice it deserves. So I can imagine that was a tough one. It was hard enough to come out as gay. Like, I can't imagine that too.
Yeah, it was quite a journey, but we got there in the end, I guess.
Yeah. So it was less of like an acceptance thing and more of just a what are you talk like we don't even know what you identify as thing.
Yeah, I mean both kind of, but yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. It was just like the initial like we don't know what to do with this now. Plus, we don't really understand what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like okay.
Yeah.
Yana's on one again. What's queer culture like in Germany? Total side note.
Pretty much the same that I think it is in America. Well,
Okay.
obviously, I don't know, but I think it's very similar be just because of the internet and everything gets like shipped over from anywhere to anywhere. So.
Yeah, I feel like people though think of Germany as still like an incredibly conservative, constrictive place. But I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I actually don't think that's the case anymore. And maybe I'm wrong in that.
I don't think it is compared to like, well, you hear stories from different places where it's much, much worse. But I mean, like everywhere, there has been like a rise of like right wing stuff coming up. But in general, I think it's pretty liberal. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that bad here.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I mean it's like America. We see ourselves as the land of the free, but I'm like, yeah, but we have some states. We have some people. We like
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
there's still a gradient here.
yeah, it could always be better, obviously. But like I'm glad that I got to like grow up here and not like, I don't know, somewhere else where it's like much worse.
Yeah, you're like, not to name any names.
Yeah, like I don't want to
Russia.
say anything wrong.
You're fine. No, you're fine. No, because I find that interesting. I think people have a version of Germany painted in their head. So do you love being German? Do you love living in Germany? Again, I really do feel like in America, people don't understand what modern Germany is like.
I mean, the thing about loving being in Germany and loving being German is something like I don't think anyone except for like right-wing people would say they love being German because
Interesting.
there's always this like we have a history.
Yeah.
So saying, well, maybe I'm saying something completely wrong with people not saying they love Germany or love being German, but it's what I experience. You don't tend to say you love being German because oftentimes that implies, you know, with like the whole Germany being
The past.
the past. Yeah, the past. It was a thing.
Yeah. No, but that's honestly what's weirdly happening in America at the same time. Whereas if someone starts now saying like, I love being an American, I have American blood, I start immediately associating them with being incredibly conservative because there's some sort of strange, if you have such like a love and adoration for your country in such like a passionate way, I automatically think there's something a little bit off about you, which for better or for worse, that doesn't mean it's true, but it's becoming
Yeah.
that here too, where I start immediately thinking of you as one thing if you start talking that way. So it's, I guess it's not dissimilar.
Yeah. It might, I mean, the only exception is like when there's like any like football or soccer competitions going on, then everyone loves being German.
Yes. Same with America. We're like the Olympics. Just kidding. I love being American. We're
Yeah,
winning.
exactly.
Look at us go. In terms of when I think about everything that I spend my day doing aside from work and hanging out with friends and everything, a lot of it is sound. It's movies, music, podcasts, movies, music, everything that we're doing right now. Was that different for you growing up, or was it a total, am I making a misinterpretation that that wasn't like as present in your life as it was in mine growing up?
I think it was just as present in my life as it was like in any other hearing person's life because we had a TV at home. We had like radio or, you know, my sister and I, especially because we're closer in age, we had a lot of like CDs back then, just listen to the same music because my parents, they knew we could hear, so they didn't want to take like anything away from us. And especially because on my mother's side, everyone else is hearing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because, as I said, they don't know why my mother is deaf. She just is, I guess. And so everyone else is hearing. So it wasn't like hearing culture was that far away from us ever.
Yeah. And I suppose it can go one of it can go both ways where, if that was just like the trend, like if you, both of your parents didn't consume media in that way growing up, it would have just been the same way for you. But since your parents decided to like have it present in your life, even though maybe your mom couldn't appreciate it, I guess in the same type of way. Like again, I think about it, I suppose it's different too because your mom became deaf and wasn't born deaf. Was that correct, you said?
That's the thing.
It's
Either
still.
she was deaf like when she was born, or it happened in like the very first few years of her life. So she's basically been deaf her entire life.
Okay, got you. So that's the other thing is like I'm like imagining trying to explain music. It's like trying to explain the color blue to anybody, but the color blue to a person who's blind, or trying to explain music to someone who's never heard it. It's surprisingly a pretty difficult thing.
Yeah, trying to explain like higher or lower tones is impossible basically. What you can explain and what she does feel especially are like beats or like bass and drums. So she even has her own like speaker that she uses to feel music.
That's what I was gonna ask. I was like, I take it she does listen to music, and I would assume it would be really bassy. In the Coda movie I watched too, that was the case for the parents. The dad, quote unquote, loved rap music, so he was always playing like really vile rap music, like really profane and explicit rap music. And the daughter was really exhausted by it. Like, you don't even like this is so embarrassing. It's so you shouldn't be listening to this.
Yeah, I actually watched the movie
You
just
did watch it.
yesterday. I
Okay.
did watch it, yes. I
What did you
realized.
think, honestly?
First, I was really confused because it reminded me very much of a different movie, a French movie. I later found out it was a remake of that French movie. So that explained all the similarities.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very specific way that they portray the whole thing. I don't feel like it's very like representative of the situation of like being a coda. But on the other hand, like it's nice that we don't get like over glorified versions of deaf people because deaf people too, and they can be shitty people. Like that's the thing. It's like the same with queer representation where it's like, okay, we don't want like the perfect queer people all the time. We want like, but also not queer villains all the time. But just give us like a normal story where the person happens to be a queer person, or like in this case, a child of deaf parents, and just be that kind of part of the story, but not like the main focus.
I suppose it would be more, and I feel like that's what it's becoming with queer representation in media now. It's like we don't need necessarily every movie to be 100% queer. It's more like we do just love having queer characters
Yeah.
just existing as they are in films, which I think that's what you're trying to get at, that it's great that they have a movie that's completely composed of deaf culture, but it would be just as great for a Marvel movie, which I think they did, to have a deaf character, and it just kind of go unknown. It's like, oh, it's just the person who is deaf in the movie, and
Yeah.
that's not talked about. They just exist like they do in the
Yeah.
real
I
world.
mean, sure, it can be like part of the story in like some ways, but it's always like a bit weird when it's the main storyline, because especially from my perspective, that has sort of been my life, and it's never been this like very important separated part of my life, because it's just there. It's always just in every part of my life, it's sort of like present, but not ever separated from everything else, like it is in that movie.
Yeah, which is a beautiful way. A beautiful way. It's. I guess it is representative of how it is for a lot of people who have unique facets to their life. It's like it just is. It is what it is. It's nothing more. Not to belittle it, but also not to put it on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Again, continuing to relate everything to the queer experience, but that's always how people discuss being queer. It's a part of me. It's not all of me, and yet it does trickle into more parts of you than you would like to admit, because you do just want it to be like, it's just a little bit of me, but it ends up being kind of a lot of you if you really think about it.
Yeah.
So I guess, wrapping it up a little bit, is there anything else you want to tell us about being a coda that people get wrong? Is there anything else, any funny stories you have with your parents growing up that you want to share?
Oh God. I guess there are a lot of funny stories, like especially with like misinterpretations of stuff. What's always funny is like trying to get your parents to notice you, because it involves a lot of like jumping around or stomping on the floor, trying to make them feel or see anything. But I've
Flicking
heard
of the
of
light
people,
switch.
yeah, that one as well. I've heard of people like throwing stuff at their parents and stuff landing in like food and stuff. So
My
when
gosh.
they were cooking, yeah,
I'm
that's always a
sure
fun thing.
it gets frustrating after like you're doing this for like 10 seconds and you're like, oh my God, just like
Yeah, and you
look.
just don't want to walk. It's like stomping and jumping is somehow like the easier version than just walking over there, like the, I don't know,
Yeah.
5 meters.
You need like
Just,
a laser pointer or something, like they're like a cat, you're like pointing it right at their face. Like
yeah.
there has to be an easier way. Well, thank you. I feel like this was a really I think it'll be honestly very enlightening for a lot of people, because again, more niche communities go naturally unrepresented in the world, and people just forget that they exist, and forget that they exist very well. And having a disability does not mean you in any way are like less than, or you have less, or you are less. And I just think simple conversations like this will bring that to light.
I'm just really happy I got to talk about it a bit.
I'm glad I didn't miss anything, did I? Is there anything else you want to wrap up with? It was good.
Nope, I think I said everything I needed to say.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay, good. Well, okay, but I want to sign off, and this is not good for the audio listeners. You have to watch on video for this. But I know that thank you in American Sign Language is this. Is it the same in GSL?
It is, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that is it. That's all I've got for you guys. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that fascinating? There were a lot of interesting sections diverging within that interview, and I found it fascinating. So it was a nice one, a nice light one, more of a fun one, in comparison to some of the difficult conversations we've been having. This was more of just kind of a peek into a really beautiful way to exist, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it and am really honored that I was able to yet again hear such an amazing story and hear it from someone who was so kind and so vulnerable. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Yana. If you enjoyed this conversation, if you're enjoying this conversational series, definitely click the like button. Give us 5 stars on all platforms. Leave a comment down below. Engage in the community. I appreciate it. If you have any suggestions, let me know as well. I'm very much open to suggestions. I have a lot of ideas that, again, are not as like dark and sad. We can have fun too while still learning. There's a lot of realms in which we can go into. So if you have one, let me know. If you have a story, send me a message, leave a comment. We'll figure it out. But thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Make sure to get a good night's rest. Definitely get vaccinated if you can. Drink a chilled glass of H2O. Send some love to your neighbor. Send some love to a family member. Hug not a stranger, because that is weird. And I will see you, or hear you. You'll hear me in the next one. Okay, bye.